Welcome in, friends, to the greatest podcast in the history of everything. It is the Good Brothers proper here on the Mercado Airwaves Network. I'm your host, Mike Mercado, with the one, the only, the Good Brother himself, Alex Mercado.
Hey, we're back in studio finally.
How nice is it to be in the brand new studio, Good Brother?
It's rags to riches compared to our old studio. We cannot wait to show it off. Mike's been working very hard, hanging everything up. We almost have too many toys and knickknacks.
Can never have too many toys or knickknacks.
More shelves. More shelves.
Good Brother, you cannot have enough of the Good Brothers. So while we're bringing back the Good Brothers proper, we are also continuing with the Quarantine Files. Maybe we'll keep the same name. Maybe we won't. Either way, we know a lot of you guys have enjoyed the content we've been bringing. So we will still continue to bring out and pump out the greatest show in the multiverse, in the Speed Force, in the Spider-Verse, in a galaxy far, far away, the Quarantine Files. Good Brother, what do you think about us adding another show to our repertoire?
Well, we've been talking about it for a while, about adding another show, and we usually, the way it works is we had the Good Brothers talking on news. News is coming back, so we feel we can bring it back, plus the new studio. But we love the list. We love the conversation format. So we're still going to do our Star Wars list, because it's going to be a good conversation. Will it be a list every single week? Maybe not. Maybe sometimes it's going to be an A or B. Maybe sometimes it's going to be a topic. There's plenty of things we don't agree on that I know the audience loves to listen to our different opinions.
Yeah.
So we're going to keep both shows, and we're going to split hosting both those shows, and we're going to start figuring that out. But I think what you can expect from us is more content. Mm-hmm. Lot more content now. We're going to be on YouTube very soon with actual picture and cameras. Video. And we're taking a real big step here. So everyone stick around for the journey. It's going to be very fun. Hopefully, by end of June, early July, we're going to be in full swing of things.
Yeah, and we're adding a new show to the sister station.
Boo, Nicole, boo.
So that's going to be a lot of fun. Hopefully, you guys check that out. So we got a lot of good stuff going on. We're playing video games on twitch.tv/Mercado Airwaves Network to take care of all of you who want to play some video games. If you're missing sports, I'm playing MLB The Show 2020. And The Last of Us 2 drops very soon, so I will be playing the original version leading into the release of the new one, so that's going to be a lot of fun.
Mike's also putting out a lot of great content through his outreach program, a lot of really fun, I would say fun, classy, great conversations with a lot of very interesting, great people, so really check those out. I think our outreach work has been some of the best work this network has put out, and that's coming from the Star Wars guy.
I'm really, I appreciate you plugging that. Yeah, if you guys want to check it out, I had a really interesting and really, you know, cathartic and informative conversation with Everett O'Neill and Courtney Baxter. Mm-hmm. We talked about the murder of George Floyd. We talked about the protest, and I'm working on some stuff down the pipeline to talk about kind of what's going to happen with reform. What do we have to do come election season? So that's going to be really interesting. And we're going to talk about some of the other communities that have been affected during the last few months and the last few weeks. So stay tuned for that Outreach Radio Chicago.
Happy Pride Month, by the way.
Yeah, happy Pride Month to all of you.
Happy Pride Month to all of our friends out there and all of our coworkers.
Shout out to Nickelodeon for that really fun tweet about SpongeBob and some of the other characters.
We've always guessed
that. Yeah, well, thank you, Nickelodeon. We didn't know.
It wasn't very obvious.
We just appreciate the confirmation.
We do. But I think it's funny when people say that. I'm like, it does mean something that, like, it's confirmed. Like, SpongeBob's a huge character. So I think good on Nickelodeon recently in general, not holding back when it comes to kids. Same with Sesame Street. Like, I would love to live in a world where the kids don't have to learn this. That would be a beautiful world. Yeah. We don't live in that world. So we do need to be teaching these kids at a young age what's right, what's wrong, and acceptance.
Well, it's funny because you talk about acceptance and, like, the children of this era. During the PS5 showcase that just happened, you could check out my reaction to Resident Evil 8 Village that I was super excited about. But one thing that I was telling Nicole is I showed her the Spider-Man Miles Morales trailer.
Hype.
And here's the thing I told her. I'm like, you know, I always heard representation, but I never, like, I always lost myself in the characters anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw that commercial and that trailer, and it really hit me. I'm like, man, it would have been something to have been 13 years old and had that Miles Morales. Yeah. Like, had this much love and care for the character, as him being half Puerto Rican, half black, and, like, what that would mean
it means
for us.
Something. Like, it means, as like, grown men, it still means
representation means something. Yep. So I'm like, I hate when people say it doesn't or that, like, it's an overplayed thing. I'm like, it really is important. Like, when you do see them on your favorite things, whether it's sports, wrestling, video games, it's super important.
If you think it's not a big deal, it's probably because you have had plenty of representation in your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
and we haven't. I mean, you're a godfather of basically two little Puerto Rican boys. Mm-hmm. They get to grow up with Miles Morales, not only making one of the best Spider-Man films, arguably, he's coming out in one of the most hyped video games after a great Spider-Man game, and we're probably going to get a live action. Like, that's cool to see this younger generation getting to grow up with them on screen.
And I think I talked about this at the radio station with the manager of the sister station that we shared the building with. I mentioned to him that what's really cool about Miles Morales' Spider-Man is it wasn't a we made Peter Parker half black, half Puerto Rican. They made a character that grew and the community got behind.
He's his own person.
He became part of, like, and to me, it's just like T'Challa. It's like, or like Blade. It's like these characters were made at their time and they developed into it and they didn't have to be forced or they didn't have to be pressured into doing it. It's like these were born from the community's love. And like, to me, that's what's great about Miles.
Good on Sony for coming out and saying, this isn't just the recolorization of our last game. We're making a brand new game and a brand new story. And I'm like, that matters. You could have easily, and it would have been okay probably, have been like, we're just going to add Miles Morales to Spider-Man. You guys like that game? No, they're like, we know you like that. We're going to make a new game with him. He deserves his own game. And that's cool. That's really cool.
So the way I think it's going to end up playing out is, for all you Uncharted fans, how we got Uncharted 4, this is going to be like Uncharted Legacy, where it's a story within that world. I think it's going to be about 15 to 20 hours.
Yeah, like Mortal Kombat Aftermath, sort of.
So exactly. A little bit more time, but like that idea of doing that. So I just wanted to gush a little bit about that. Awesome. And we'll gush a little bit because we're working on something with a Super Mario.
It's almost like Marcos. A mini Good Brothers episode
but
in
like,
there.
I want to talk about Resident Evil Village out. Looks really fun. But what do you think, really fast? We'll move on after this because it's going to be a subject I'm saving for another show. But what do you think the price point is for PS5?
Didn't it already come out for a $700 pre-order?
There's a pre-order. Yeah, I forgot who Warrior64 on Twitter, I think, brought it up. But it's a $700. I'm thinking, $699 sounds about right.
How long was the PS4 out for? How long did the PS4 last? Like, what was it?
Six years?
6 years, that's a whole entertainment. Here's my thing. You're buying almost an entertainment center at that point. So, like, I think the problem is with these modern systems is, Mike, you already have an entertainment center because you've bought so many.
November 2016 was the PS4.
Okay, so that's hard, man. That's a lot of money. 700, like, and I expected it to go up. We did. I'm interested to see where everyone else puts their price range. I appreciate, looking at Nintendo, they've kind of managed a very... They only hire the price. Very limited time, they'll hire their prices to a crazy amount. This thing looks crazy. PS has, in general, put out some of the best games.
It has the best game.
Has the best game library.
Shout out to Xbox Series X. That probably is going to have the best equipment.
Yeah.
So, like, they both are going to bring something to the table.
It's tough, man. Like, you're basically paying for two systems at once just for the system. Yeah. I hope they put a nice little bundle.
Yeah.
Again, this is where it's leading. Like, I remember back in the day, like, the number $299 sticks in my head so much because that's what every system cost. And then when the first one came out, it was like $399 for a PS3?
No, what? PS3 was $599.
Or PS2? Like, oh my God, like, that's a lot of money. But you kept going. And like I said, beside Nintendo, we should expect these prices to keep increasing. My advice, buy a bundle. Try to get the best deal. Layaway is a hell of a thing to use if you can. I don't know. What do you think, Mike? You play more video games than I do. I still have an Xbox One that's lasted me a very long time that I use as an entertainment center. What do you think? Is that too much money?
Yeah. I mean, the PlayStation 3 came out at $600 when it first released. So that was definitely the moment everybody – I remember the gas everybody had when that was dropped.
And that wasn't even a great system.
No. That was probably the weakest of the PlayStation line.
Yeah, that was. That's the bottom of the list.
I have not enjoyed the Xbox One this generation, and I am an Xbox guy.
I don't play games on it.
Yeah, I do not play any games on it. I try to get through a few of them, and I have. But, like, to me, I think Xbox Series X is going to be super dope.
Mm-hmm.
I think the problem it's going to have that Microsoft just needs to get back with the community. Mm-hmm. They need to get back to top-tier franchises that are exclusive to it.
Yeah.
I need a great Halo game.
I don't play video games, and I know that. Yeah. That's an issue. If I already know your library sucks, I don't play a lot of games. I get my news from you and our network. I know how bad your library is. So I can only imagine what hardcore gamers are like. Why would you have an Xbox?
Because
anymore?
They do have a great package with the Xbox Pass where you get to mm-hmm. play the video games and you get the online and everything. Yeah. They have a lot of really great games.
Potential's there.
Yeah, the problem is like you're going up against God of War, Last of Us, Spider-Man, like Ghost of Tsushima.
That's like, just from last year. Yeah. By the way, that's just from last year. You're not even including like Grand Theft Autos yeah. or
the other stuff you
the
add
Monster
to your
Hunters, the yeah. Resident Evils. Yeah. That's crazy. Like you named literally four Red Dead Redemption. All exclusive to the PlayStation. We used to joke back in the day. It was like, oh, you're... Even South Park's outdated now because Xbox used to be like, okay, you have to have an Xbox.
Well, the 360 nowadays, was the system.
Of nowadays, you have an Xbox. You're like, why? Well, I watch DVDs on it. I watch Netflix on it. Oh, that makes sense.
Well, because it's a great system. In that it's a great power system.
I don't even use it for games. So that's an issue right away where, no offense, I can use a Fire Stick for the same thing for a quarter of the price.
So if you're asking me, I won't be buying the first wave of PlayStation 5s, but I will be buying the PlayStation 5 first.
Okay.
So that's where I'm at.
Get a Switch.
I already have a Switch.
That's right. So, guys, get a Switch.
It's the best. It's the best secondary.
Good for Nintendo. Yeah,
it's the best secondary one. Good, brother. Speaking of secondary, let's talk about a secondary pay-per-view.
Did we get to talk about In Your House?
Oh, you want to talk a little about In Your House? We can talk a little about In Your House.
Well, I mean, it happened. Hold on.
Hugh Jackman, hold up. All right, go ahead. Let's talk a little bit about
it. It was good. Right. It was really good. It was very old school NXT. I think it's the most... that NXT feel we've had in a while. Yeah. I think it's the best pay-per-view we've gotten out of the no audiences.
Even though it had an audience.
Like the closed sets.
Yeah.
I think it's the best pay-per-view we've gotten. I was most entertained. I thought every match delivered. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. I really enjoyed it. I don't think we're going to get that tonight, but I really enjoyed In Your House.
I really enjoyed In Your House. I thought the Karrion Kross Ciampa thing was really good. I wanted even more.
We called a lot of
it. I wanted a little bit more of a squash, but it is what it was. I didn't enjoy Cole versus Dream as much as the other cinematic matches.
But we went into it with low expectations of like, oh, I don't think this is not going to be good. And we're like, okay,
I don't
it wasn't love terrible.
Dexter Lumis, he's cool.
I think he's
like
fun.
He's got a what could be a cool gimmick. He's obviously jacked to the gills, so it's like he's got all the potential.
Look at him.
I love his theme song. I think his entrance. It. Yeah, it's a little bit
his
of
character work is great. Like he's killing it.
But I don't like Shaw in TNA, so I'm like, am I gonna like him now as Lumis here? But so I thought that was really cool. I want to see what happens with Finn. I'm a little bummed that we didn't...
NXT title, or the North American title, looks like.
This is my biggest problem with NXT TakeOver. Had the pit fight been on that card, 10 out of 10 pay-per-view. NXT TakeOver In Your House did not have a marquee moment that it thought it was going to have. It thought it was going to have one with Adam Cole and Velveteen Dream, and nothing came from that match. It didn't have that moment like the other one.
A lot of 3.5 stars. It didn't hit that 4-star level.
Same thing with Karrion Kross. Karrion Kross came off looking good. Obviously, Scarlett is awesome.
Yeah.
But like,
and now he's going to be the next champion.
But what? There wasn't that moment. Like, he didn't destroy Ciampa. Ciampa wasn't bleeding.
Yeah.
Ciampa wasn't incapacitated.
It's a long story they're telling.
So this was an NXT where they were trying to make it WrestleMania-esque because it was In Your House.
I agree
with
you.
But other than EO winning is probably the moment of the pay-per-view.
EO winning, yeah.
That's the moment
of the pay-per-view. I'll give you that. That was the 1-4-star. Yeah. But they could have – usually we expect like 5 4-stars.
Yeah. And we didn't get
I'm with you. I think what would have made it a perfect pay-per-view is two things. The pit.
Yeah.
Send Matt Riddle off on a good note.
That's exactly
right. And the final of the Cruiserweight. Give me that.
Yes.
Give me the Drake Maverick scene somewhere in the middle.
I wanted to turn there too.
No, you can say the turn for NXT. I get it. But give me the contract thing. At the TakeOver.
I'm cool with that too. Totally
I think you had those two things. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What would that add? Like 30 minutes, honestly?
Yeah, if that.
You would have been fine. Like, I think that I would have been like, okay, I got a lot. I get that they have to keep pushing, and I get we're just, again, we go back to this call all the time. We're not going to be looking at highlight reels from this year, guys. Like,
not the same way.
Look at WWE just this week revamped their entire creative, and our boy Bruce is on top of everything, and Heyman's got backstage heat, and he's back to being a talent.
I wonder, to me, the problem is like everybody has backstage heat. I don't know if anybody has any real control because I don't know how Vince is right now.
I think that's at the end of the day. It's like we've never seen a company like this with only one person at the helm. Like even professional sports, the owners can band up and kind of go against the commissioner. The owner is the commissioner. Like that's where we're in, I think, an accident of like it's a weird thing when one man truly does control the power. There's no miniature men. There's no, you know, I own the Cowboys, you're the commissioner, we're going to battle. Because we
one guy.
It's one guy that does it. He is both of those things. So that's crazy to me.
Well, we'll see how Bruce ends up working with Vince. I mean, they have all those years with each other. But I think at the end of the day, we'll have to wait. If you want to see real change with the WWE, and I don't even mean this as a mark or anything, it really comes down to when Vince leaves and there's a different
team. And when we mean leave, it's, at this point, it's going to be
it's
leave this
passed.
Earth.
Yeah. And which might mean never, because, you know.
It could be another 15 years, people. Yeah, like, realistically.
Vince is outliving everybody.
Yeah.
Let's get into this year's Backlash, good brother. One of the most controversial, one of the most talked about, one of the most, I personally believe, overhyped when it comes to criticism. I think a lot of people have taken this opportunity. I can't believe they're promoting this as the greatest match ever. But we'll get into that in just a little bit, good brother. Let's start in what we're going to assume is the beginning of the card. How about we start off with the Raw Tag Team Championships, the Street Profits defending the titles against the Viking Raiders. This match was added late on social media on Saturday, so how do you think this plays out? Do the Street Profits keep the titles? Do the Viking Raiders win? Where are we in this? What have you thought about all the vignettes?
I like the vignettes. I think they're very funny. I do enjoy when Raw throws out a couple of vignettes for us. I think the Street Profits retain. And if they don't retain, then someone interferes, and that interferes, and that would be our next tag team match, basically.
So, who do you think that is? If you had to guess,
I don't know. That's tough. I feel like they're making a few new tag teams. I feel like Raw's getting a real vamp of their tag team division in general.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with the Street Profits. Yeah, I think something screwy happens. I don't think they're ready to move on with that story yet.
Maybe we can see a Buddy Murphy and Austin Theory.
Yeah.
AOP, I don't know if they're healthy yet. I think there's options. I don't think it's going to be – I think this whole face and facing needs to end. So we definitely need a heel tag team to come up and do something.
Speaking of having to move on and do something, Sheamus versus Jeff Hardy. Who do you got in this crazy, crazy storyline?
Jeff Hardy.
Yeah, same here. I mean, they better not let...
I don't mind. I thought the story's fine. It's not like the first time we've seen someone take a drug test on WWE air.
Yeah, I mean, but like...
we've seen Shawn Michaels do it. Yeah, faces that's right. He fought God, guys. I mean, I'm not really surprised they did this angle.
Yeah, no, I'm totally not surprised that they did this angle. I think I'd be surprised if they let the babyface lose after all that.
Exactly. That's the only mistake you'll make. Yeah. But Sheamus is a great heel. Jeff Hardy's lovable.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously, if you're going to do a redemption story, you can't let the guy lose exactly. Right away. For the United States Championship, Apollo Crews defends the title against Andrade.
Apollo Crews wins. Dominik Dijakovic is coming up very soon.
Dominik Dijakovic? I think he's coming up soon, too. I just don't know which brand.
I want it to be – it's Raw. I mean, usually when you hear a rumor long enough, it's usually true.
Yeah.
And they just moved up – they're moving up Matt Riddle to SmackDown, so I think they're going to avoid that because Matt Riddle is going to be your next IC champion.
Yeah.
I like Dominic. I would like him. Again, the rumor is Paul Heyman might be taking him under his wing. We might see that. That's why he's back to Honor Talent. I would love that. I would love Dominic as a heel because I just don't see him as a – he's too pretty to be a babyface almost. Like, we already have enough of those kind of babyface. I would like a Dominic just Brock Lesnar-esque heel. So I'm hoping that's what happens. But I think Apollo's going to keep it. I think Apollo's getting a nice little push there.
So I think Apollo's getting a push. I also think that the United States is kind of the weird the real thing about the United States title is what you do after it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're going to put the title back on Andrade because I think they're trying to make his move to
he's going to be the next WWE champion.
To the main event scene. With that in mind, I wonder what they're going to do with Apollo moving forward. Who's the guy to take it off of him? I think this is kind of an anchor championship. So, yeah. But I'll go with Apollo in this case.
It's kind of an almost, you earned this. Like, you stuck with us.
But with that being said, it doesn't mean anything, though. So it's like, they gave you the title, but it really doesn't mean anything.
That's the whole argument of, do titles mean anything at the
end
of the
day? I think that's much more prevalent for the U.S. title. That's
the U.S. title brings up that conversation.
Much more,
what does a title really do?
Yeah.
Hopefully, like you said, look at the IC title. Hopefully that becomes a little more dominant. Because, you know, obviously when Sammy won, that was cool. Then he wasn't
AJ,
on air.
Yeah.
I think AJ's definitely the guy you want to push.
Yeah.
Again, him and Matt Riddle is going to be a banger. So that's going to be great.
Speaking of great, how about the Women's Tag Team Championship? Bayley and Sasha defend the titles against Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss against the Iconics.
Bayley and Sasha are going to win. They're going to pin Nikki or Alexa. Doesn't matter. I think Iconics eventually are going to be the team to take off the titles. I think they're going to run with Sasha and Bayley for the pier. They're going to put them on NXT. They're going to run with it. eventually they're going to do what the old school DX and Austin Triple H thing where, you know, they're going to lose the tag titles and we're finally going to get that Sasha turn.
But I think that happens this week.
You think that happens this week already?
I think that happens tonight, so I think the Iconics win it.
I think they push it one more pay-per-view.
Interesting. I think they're... But
it's happening, so yeah. I wouldn't be totally surprised if it did. I think it's a little too soon, but I do think... I think we agree. Iconics will be the next champions. The turn is coming. Sasha will be your next SmackDown champion.
For the Raw Women's Championship, Asuka versus Nia Jax. Asuka defends the title. Asuka wins. All right, we can move
on. Unless it's Charlotte Flair, Asuka. Asuka beats everyone except for Charlotte.
Yeah, we can move on. For the Universal Championship, Braun Strowman defends the title against The Miz and John Morrison. We can move on.
We can move on.
Braun Strowman.
We're waiting for, I think, a strong heel to come in and take that title away.
The best programming to make you think there's a chance that there's a title change. The WWE Championship, Drew McIntyre defends the title against Bobby Lashley.
I wish Bobby Lashley was on SmackDown because I think Bobby Lashley would be a great SmackDown champion. Mm. But it's Drew McIntyre.
It's Drew McIntyre.
And I'll give him this. This is the best building of a babyface champion we've seen in maybe 10 years. Since Daniel Bryan.
And I'd argue this is the best building of a guy who's not going to win a championship that feels like, damn, they could pull the trigger on him.
And if they do, you're going to be like,
all right, they pulled the trigger. And a lot of that's MVP.
Yeah.
So if Bobby Lashley's work, his presence, but MVP's mouthpiece,
I think you agree with me. Some of the best TNA work was when we had MVP and Bobby Lashley and that trio.
And then
I love that. And Bobby Lashley went on to win every title. I thought that was my favorite.
And went against Drew McIntyre.
Mm-hmm.
All right, good brother. We have finally made it. It is.
We got Drew.
We got Drew. I mean, WWE knows what they're doing. They love the fact that so many people are actually believing that they believe the greatest wrestling match is about to happen.
Bad press is still press.
And that's the point. And all you guys fed right into it. So I think this match ends up not going that long.
Nope.
Randy Orton does something despicable.
Yeah.
I think he ends up punting or does the concerto to Edge. This doesn't go more than 10 minutes. I think they hype this all up. Especially, they're going to make this be the main event. They're going to hype it all the way to it, and then it's going to end in a snap.
Something like that. I would prefer, I like the other rumor that someone's going to attack them and we get a tag team reunited. That's what I'm low-key, like, young Alex is like, come on, Rated RKO.
Rated RKO.
Come on, Rated RKO. Like, that's what I would like. I completely agree with you. This was all on purpose. They're not dumb. Like, just like when AEW brought Mike Tyson, it went terrible, but it's still press. Like, you're not going to turn away that kind of press. You hyping this matchup like that and having the smart marks talk about it, you got your job done.
So with that in mind, good brother, we go ahead and run it down. Who do you got? Edge or Randy Orton? We have the feud.
No
we
finish.
Have the moment. I have Randy Orton in no finish, so Edge wins, I guess.
But you think there's actually going to be a winner?
Yeah, I think Edge wins.
I'm going to throw out the crazy guess that it's one of those like Bray Wyatt, Seth Rollins things where like the match just ends. Like something stupid happens and they call the match. I think it's worse than your idea where it's like, no, they're just going to call the match. Like they kill each other or they jump off a building like where there's no winner. It's just done.
From a scale of 1 to 10, how far into 9 and 10 are people going to be angry regardless of this match?
I mean, people are going to hate him no matter what. Literally put out the greatest match ever,
no way,
it's never going to be accepted.
No way.
That it was supposed to be, so we're not. This could be the greatest match of our lifetime, and we're never going to admit that.
Good, brother. I'm excited, though. It's nice to have some television on every Sunday. We have some fun documentaries, Be Like Water. We have the Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire documentary, and we have to finish off the weekend by watching WWE Backlash, and hopefully you guys all enjoy the pay-per-view. Backlash, I love the set. It was one of my favorite sets back in the day. Yeah. It'd be really cool if they brought it back somehow.
Backlash has always been known for being low-key one of those like pay-per-views that really deliver. So I'm hoping we get that tonight where it's like, wow, that was way better than any of us ever expected.
Yeah, kind of hard for me to say sometimes, but Backlash, I love it. Good brother, find him on Twitter at Mercado21Alex and on Instagram at Mercado2121. I'm on Twitter at MikeMedia and Instagram at MikeMercadoMedia. We're all over the universe at Mercado Airwaves. Please search us wherever you get your favorite podcast. Twitch.tv/Mercado Airwaves Network. YouTube.com/Mercado Airwaves Network. For the good brother himself, Alex Mercado.
Adios.
I'm the good brother, Mike Mercado. We'll see you on the next episode of the Good Brothers here on the Mercado Airwaves Network.